favorite chords ever, and I would never play this chord if it wasn't for this guitar. I have so much respect for people who learn music through the guitar. Also, look how many fingers I have. 5. Come on. So lightweight.
So what video game are you playing?
Yeah, exactly.
That's my first.
Today I've got the pleasure to be joined by Grammy Award winning artist Jacob Collier.
Oh, this is the legendary room.
And despite his reputation as a multi-instrumentalist and a bit of a musical prodigy, he had a hard time connecting with a traditional guitar.
It's so strange, it's messed with my mind.
So then he decided to redefine the instrument, and now the guitar plays a significant role on his most recent record, Jesse Volume 4. Whether it's finger-picking intricate melodies, layering complex harmonies, or just rocking out, his guitars and playing style are truly something to shine a light on.
Jethro has arrived.
After we found a good place for Jethro.
So Jethro has been on the piano for every concert I've done since 2019. I always refer to him as a crocodile because I like crocs. Boom, that's it. He loves any flat surfaces. I normally don't use tuners, but I should.
I was wondering about that, actually.
I tune to where I feel the note is in my head. All right, I'll follow you.
Is there more space between the strings? Is it like
a So it's a 6-string neck, but with 5 strings, which I love because it means you can really enjoy all the space.
Everything's rolling.
All right. Cool.
So what a day, we're here in Studio David.
We are, at long last.
So good to see you.
And, so good to see you.
We're here discussing your approach to guitar, I think. That would be super interesting to talk about.
Because for me too.
How does one get to this point with a 5-string guitar?
With a 5-string guitar. Yeah. Okay, so picture this, right? London is a city filled with music shops. And there's a particular district in London called Soho, which is where Denmark Street is.
Yeah.
A very, very legendary music street. And around that area, are a lot of amazing music shops, and there's one music shop, I think it's on a road called Rathbone Place, and the shop's called Hobgoblin Music, which for me as a 17, 18 year old is like a candy store, right? So I walked in there one day after college and looked around and thought, these amazing guitars, I couldn't resist it. And there was one guitar that really caught my eye, and it was a 4-string tenor guitar, which was tuned like this. That's how it was tuned, so in fifths. So it's basically one octave down from a mandolin.
Yeah,
you can say, or one octave down from a violin. And I played bass at that point, but I didn't play guitar. So I had this funny approach to the guitar, which was kind of based in fifths. But I chose to tune down the top guitar to the top string to this note here. So what I had was a fourth on the top, so I could play bassy kind of language, and then fifths on the bottom. And that kind of defined so much of my guitar playing in the early years. That was like my first ever guitar. And then over the years of just being very curious about the guitar, because I could always play guitar in my head, even though I couldn't play with my fingers, I could always imagine the guitar and imagine the kinds of things I would do. And so over the years, I started to imagine a sort of a language of guitar playing where it was, again, half in fourths and half in fifths, because I think both are really helpful and important. So I basically dreamed of this guitar tuning for many, many years before it existed. And then one day I asked Taylor, I said, hey, how do you feel about putting a 5-string guitar on a 6-string neck, tuned in a very strange way, but with exactly the same range as a normal guitar, but just with a different set of intervals? And they said yes, which changed my whole life. So the tuning, if I take off the capo, or you say capo?
I say capo.
I say capo as well.
Yeah. Nice.
I've received some shtuck for that, but I'm glad you say it.
Capo.
Capo. Thank you.
Yes.
So without the capo, you got D, A, E, A, D. So it's almost like there's a mirror down the middle. So you've got octave here and octave here, which is lovely because it means if you play these lines, it's really gorgeous and easy to find. Not to mention a major chord is very...
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Easy, right? So for a guitar novice like me coming into the guitar, this and this, it's just so straightforward to understand. I can play that anywhere, right? So I can bar these chords very, very easily. And then as I was saying before, when I play lines, so the top, This fifth area is very much sort of wide intervals, so it can be quite droney, you know. And then the top, the higher strings, a lot of this language is kind of familiar to the ears of more familiar to the ears of guitar players. Yeah. So I can be a guitarist.
Yeah, it sounds
on the top, on like this.
Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, fourthy stuff. But I can also. So it's just a combination of languages, which appeals to me greatly.
It's a new sound for me, actually. Oh, it's really, really interesting. You've got that nine as well.
Yeah. So there's like an inherent ninth in the chord, which
Are you leaning on that? Are you thrown in a certain direction when you play guitar? Do you write differently on a guitar?
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, I guess there are two ways I would approach this tuning. It makes sense. One is from this side, and one is from this side. If I approach from this side, a lot of my main voicings can be on these three strings, because these two strings can just hang.
Yeah.
So if I go, they're always playing. Which I love because as a lover of harmony, you can find really amazing changes, but with these two notes as sort of like the bridge that crosses them all through. So it's one of my favorite chords ever, and I would never play this chord if it wasn't for this guitar. So it's bittersweet, isn't it? So, I don't know what it is about the guitar, but it definitely brings out, in a sense, a simplicity of harmonic language for me, which is sometimes rare, because I only have three strings to choose from. So a lot of things are based in triads, just, you know, three-part chords, and inversions. And there are certain sequences that a guitar like this might lend itself to, like, you know, something like... I don't know what it is about the harmonic language that it presents, but it does inspire me to write songs in a different way.
As soon as you strum the guitar, it evokes a sort of emotion.
Yeah, and, you're and, there.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I'm very biased here, but I think that if you're just starting out on guitar, this is a really great place to start. Because it's... If you strum all the strings, it already sounds good. You don't have to do a funky shape to begin.
I discovered open D, for example,
it's a game changer, isn't it?
Why don't people start with open D?
I know.
And you can play on the top string, just add some melodies in there. You can change an entire chord by just changing the bass note and sort of the rest.
I love it so much. Yeah, it's funny. The other day I was hanging out with Joni Mitchell, which I know is a weird thing to say, but it's true. I performed with her at the Grammys this year.
I saw. Yeah.
And I was just asking her about tunings because. She is such a legend of guitar tunings, and the way she thinks about it is so unique. And she was describing just the way that different kinds of tunings would just evoke a spirit, which would guide her towards a song, would evoke a lyric, would evoke a mood. But how she didn't know any of the chords she was playing. Her fingers would just find this stuff. And you know, like amazing tunings, like with the fourth in, you know, and sometimes with the sixth in, and all these really strange tunings. But she'd like, you know, drop C, tunings, you know, like C, G, D, F, A, C. Or things like this. It's just an amazing
thing, but I love the approach. I've always been of that mind of, you know, if you don't like a rule, tweak it.
Yeah. Like, I would be scared saying, wait a second, everyone has been doing it wrong. Six strings, no. standard tuning, no. This is how we do it. Five strings. I think it's a bold move, but I love it.
Yeah, thanks.
So just change everything to what suits you, because so many different personalities use different things and find your voice.
Absolutely. And I mean, six-string guitars are beautiful, and there's so many amazing players of them, but I think I wanted to find my own way into the language, and I was playing this in my head for so many years before I could play it in real life. Also, look how many fingers I have. Five. Come on. Five fingers. Which is so lovely. So I can actually do, you know, if I'm doing... That's really easy.
Yeah.
Just every one of my fingers has a job. I love. So that's just a very straightforward way of fingering.
So you pluck with hand. All fingers as well?
Sometimes, yeah. That kind of, yeah. There's something exciting about that to me.
Very dynamic, because you can really control all the
strings.
Yeah,
you control each, and then you can bite them out in different ways.
Yeah.
But I will say with guitar in general, again, because I'm, you know, utterly self-taught and experimental, and I follow my ears much more than I follow my technique, I do a lot with my left hand. And that's partly because I, as a bass player, I've had to strengthen up my fingers to do quite dexterous things. I actually started playing bass on double bass, which is proper, like, hardcore. You know, you kind of need to have strength.
Yeah.
And when I came to electric bass many years later, I was like, this is so easy. Man, you just play, this is so, like, light.
But, shredding.
But because of that, you know, you can kind of just play one note. You know. And this hand does, like, all the work, you know. My right hand's not doing very much at all. But I don't know why that, I don't know why that made sense to me, but I think as a piano player, you know, playing notes like this, it feels natural, you know. So I sometimes I can literally just hang out with my right hand not doing very much and then enunciate as I need to as well. So I have both hands doing very unusual things, I suppose.
And I saw your picking technique gets pretty well sort of evolved into something that suits this guitar very well.
Yeah, it's quite bespoke to this guitar, I think. So, yeah, this pattern, I'd it's fine, I don't think too much about it. With the thumb.
Yeah, you with a droney.
So, my hand just feels like it's doing that, I suppose. Mm-hmm. I sort of hop up and around a little bit, and I don't use my little finger too much unless I'm doing this thing, which is helpful. But I'm not sure many people do pick with their little fingers.
I think only a few, and indeed usually only when they pluck
it's the claw
heavy chords. Yeah.
Makes
it's
sense.
A weird one. It's always tricky. You play with your pinky on your left hand. Yeah?
When I'm reaching a little bit, yeah. But my pinky's not the strongest.
Yeah.
It's funny. I recently picked up the. Mando cello. Have you ever seen a Mando cello?
No.
I got one for Christmas. My mom got one for me for Christmas.
Oh, the sweetest.
It's a really a massive mandolin, basically. It's tuned like a cello. So it's like C, G, D, A, like super low.
Mm-hmm.
There's two strings for every note. It sounds really big and wide. It's the first time in my life I've ever picked with a pick.
Oh.
The last month or so. So I'm trying to get better at it. And it's hard. With something, you got to pick that.
Yeah, if you want to try it, I mean.
Yeah, I've never picked this guitar before. Yeah, it's brand new for me. I'm sure you in the comments will be saying, Jacob, don't do it like that, but that's okay.
It's all good, whatever you want, it's fine.
Okay, cool. I might ask you for some tips later.
Well, usually people tend to pick not on the fretboard because it gives you something that's...
Oh, the clicky thing, I thought you might
say. Like it,
So down here is better, is it?
Well, you sort of got your equalizer up here. If you pick here, it's super bright.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
You can really play
this
with
this guy's good. Right, so you get to design It's funny, I picked here but from the mandocello for some reason. This just sounds much better, thanks
then
for
that. If you want to really ring a chord, you can sort of do that and then go there.
That sounds good.
Wow.
This is a small one as well.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say was on the... So with chords like this, that's where my little finger can come in handy. Yeah, I definitely think with... Oh, you can have the pick back.
Thank you.
I think with technique on any instrument, really, it's like there is no objectively good technique for everyone. I think that it's helpful to realise that for certain people's purposes or sounds they hear, certain things are going to work better for them than others.
Yeah.
Though there are also core principles that can help general people to get onto the horse, as it were.
I think a big one that's super interesting when I saw you play is like the thumb position behind the neck, because I just saw you put the thumb really underneath the neck, sort of, to really, you put it here to play certain chords, like the thumb.
Oh, I see, right.
I think when you play...
Wait, with this chord here, was it?
Wait, let me show you. I think when you really want to stretch, you sort of put it like here. I don't know, it's... So I think that really says it all. Like, the thumb position is so debatable. Like, when Jimi Hendrix started playing, he put his thumb
over his neck. Well, he did all this stuff, didn't he? Yeah, which I love that.
And, like, to the day, more traditional guitar teachers are still, like, saying, no, well, how are you going to play a little wing?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you're not, so...
It's built for a hand with a thumb over the E string.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's funny.
On that topic, did you ever play traditional guitar before you found a five string, or
no,
never?
I never did. I think there was a guitar in the house, which I didn't really do much with, because I just didn't, my brain wouldn't get inside the tuning, and because I was such a piano player, I think I was harmonically impatient, you could say. I wanted immediate harmonic results, and so I would sit at the piano and go, bang, 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 and then I'd pick up the guitar and go, oh, I can't quite find the shape, you know. Also, the thing with the guitar is that a lot of the shapes that you start with, you hear them all the time.
Yes.
You know, so E major, oh, everyone's heard that a million times. Or C major, you know, everyone's heard that before. I think that my ears were more attracted to sounds I had not heard before.
Mm.
And so for whatever reason, I think the guitar was in some ways off-putting, because there was no way in unless you do something that you've heard before, which sounds like a funny thing to say, but I think what drew me to the tenor guitar was I was finding shapes on the guitar which were in some ways simpler than the six-string guitar, because there were only four strings, but I hadn't heard a guitar do that before, so I was excited by that. And then more recently I've come back around, and now I want to learn the more traditional shapes on six-string, but at first I think I wasn't, it didn't like turn me on, it didn't get me at first.
I think it also matters that you were already so proficient in different instruments, so if you feel held back by a design of an instrument, you're sort of like,
well, I have so much respect for people who learn music through the guitar, because I feel like the guitar is such a it's so distinct in a sense. You have to climb in through these shapes and things, and if you can map out the whole of music and understanding on a fretboard, I think that's such an amazing thing to do. I feel like the piano is in some ways easier because it's all there, you think, you know, and then you can apply that to other things. But I think the guitar is an amazing place to learn that. But I definitely struggled with that when I was growing up. You know?
The guitar is like a maze, but when you found your path, like it's beautiful.
It's so beautiful. I remember hearing a guitar player, do you know Ted Green?
Yeah.
Just one of the greats to me. It was one of my biggest guitar inspirations. He also inspired me in my harpeggi playing. Mm-hmm. I play this instrument called a harpeggi. It's like a 16-string whole tone tuned. It's a wild instrument. And the way I play harpeggi is very much inspired by Ted Green, the way he plays guitar. It's so soft and all the harmonic-y, tappy. Oh, it's gorgeous. But that's another example of someone I heard play the guitar. I thought, is that even a guitar? What instrument is that he's playing? I've never heard it sound like that before.
Yeah, I was listening to your new record, Jesse No. 4, Volume 4. Yeah, congrats on that. It is... absolutely beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Like, just speaking about it, give me some goosebumps.
Oh, yeah.
There are some tracks on there, wow, that just blew my mind.
Oh.
And sometimes, like, is it a guitar or is it something else?
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
Sometimes I didn't know. Also, because of the production a little bit, it's not guitar-centric. Unwell, of course.
Yes.
Maybe it's time to Show me the other guitar.
Should we crack out the electric?
I think so.
This is the one that I played on well, so since you mentioned it, let's do that.
Oh, there we go. Let's set this good.
Just gonna sit here
and be shocked.
Let's do it.
All right. Here's the beastie. Isn't that beautiful? There you go.
Oh, wow.
So lightweight.
So what video game are you playing?
Yeah, exactly.
That's my first. Yeah. I do love the blue and the colors.
Yeah.
It suits your personality.
I do like my colors, has to be said.
Yeah.
And I've never seen a guitar with these fret inlays as these kind of like these colorful lines before. And so you tune it down here.
Yeah, that's super interesting.
Yeah.
And why did you choose the super modern Strandberg design? Is that something?
So back in 2021, right? I fell in love with a musical group called Arch Echo. The way they get around the neck was just like liquid, you know, so fluid and so musical and effortless. And they said, you know, you should hang out with Ola at some point. And yeah, so they connected me with Ola because I was explaining to them that I was kind of imagining this idea in my head. What if there was a 5-string electric guitar? That's kind of like my absolute dream. And so I then met Ola Strandberg, the man who is responsible for all these beasts, in Stockholm 2022 when I played a show there. And I showed him the 5-string acoustic. I said, hey man, you know, this is kind of like my baby. I play this on tour and I love the tuning. And he just kind of like had this twinkle in his eye. He said, leave it with me. I wasn't expecting anything, but then a few short weeks later, he basically sent me the first prototype of this. Which is the same exact tuning as that, but it's in electric form, which completely blew my mind. And there are certain things that you can do on this that you just can't do on this. So for example, I can bend super far, minor third, which I've never been able to do that kind of thing before. Bending wise, just being able to get right into it. Which again is a testament to the neck being slightly bigger than you would normally have.
Yeah.
There's so much real estate around the strings. And it's funny because I heard so much guitar growing up and I absorbed it all, but not being a guitar player, now even if I do a really simple thing like this, it just makes me laugh. I'm like, oh, I know that. I know about that sound.
The rock cliche is you can do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's a total joy, a total joy.
It's pretty beautiful. I think it's interesting that because you're not a traditional guitar player, I think it would make more sense to go for a super new modern guitar design.
Would you say so?
Yeah, because I think traditional guitarists often tend to hook up their sounds to what they heard on their in the 60s and the 70s.
Yeah, right. You want that old school.
Yeah, this is the Jimmy. Oh, wow, yeah. Probably this is more comfortable. You can play faster.
Yeah.
It's easier to just carry around. So there's a lot of things that speak for a guitar like this.
Yeah.
Which is super interesting.
Yeah, all meal this. That's all so easy on this. More easy than on the acoustic, you know. Oh. This is so much fun.
In terms of amps for your record, what kind of amps do you use? Do you?
So I have a little Princeton at home, which I sometimes mic up, which is super like grungy and sounds great.
Great amps, yeah.
If you want the real, the sort of like you can feel the air moving sound. I'm also a huge fan of the Helix. I think there's a bunch of great stuff in there.
Yeah.
Just plenty of time going through. I have both the hardware and the software version of the Helix.
Oh, yeah.
So for the record, I think we used the hardware at first and then we switched over to software. Just kind of looking for that sound, but there's one particular sound for well, you know. Whenever I record electric guitar, I turn tune the third down to be in just intonation, right? There it is.
Yeah.
So that. It's just like, ooh,
it's so much.
It hits the soul, you know?
Yeah, now you've got the...
Yeah, but that is so great. And, you know, that's a bit of Joni, isn't it? I feel like I'm just starting to find the
Well, I think I speak for every guitar player out there. We're very happy to welcome you in the guitar community.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me.
You're an addition. And I think you sort of passed the test.
Oh, that's good. That's very good.
And I also noticed when you play the electric, you sort of strum upwards with your index finger and then do a sort of hybrid with thumb picking. And
I suppose you're right, yeah. Yeah, that works for me. Can I have a go on the pick one more time?
Sure. Oh, it is a black one now.
Yeah, I guess it's changed colour.
Yeah.
I'm leaning on the E string, the bottom string a lot. So when I get to that string, then what do I do?
Yeah, I would lean here on the bridge.
Ah.
So.
Oh, I see, you lean on the bridge.
Yeah, that's where I lean. That's my anchoring point, because it's great to have some anchoring for your picking hand.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't do that fast.
You see, the movements should be a little bit small, and also you can slant the pick a little
bit. Oh, yeah, yeah. Slant in the right direction?
Yeah.
I'm so new to picking, it's amazing.
What I think is also great about pick, if you really want to do string skipping, but with more emphasis, like... sort of, you are not getting that from... like... it's a bit out. Big sort of, and if you do it fast, it looks almost sort of. And it has a different ring to it than finger picking.
I feel like I always feel I can get a little bit more freedom with this, but then I miss the sound.
It's a vastly different sound, yeah.
It's cool that there are two different options, you know.
And I think when you play like this, you should sort of avoid the. Really, because I think your string tension is quite low.
Yeah.
So if you dig in too much, it becomes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, sorry. Yeah. Oh,
yeah. You're the moment where you pick too loud and the beginning of all the note goes sharp a little bit.
Yeah. See, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna try and anchor my bridge better.
And how do you think about the pickups? Because for the first few years I was playing, I just never looked at it.
I don't think too much about it. The one thing I do know is that when I have the distortion turned on, especially when we play live, we do songs like Well live. I tend to go onto this side. This is this pickup, right?
Yeah.
So I'm biased towards this one, but with one notch still towards this one. And I think there's something bright and forthright about that.
Yeah.
Which this one doesn't quite have. I think the distortion responds to the high end a bit better.
Like chimey a little bit.
Yeah.
They're the same here.
Yeah.
Like we call it the in-between setting. I'm not sure how it's routed, but it's like when you use two different pickups, there's this space thing. And
I like it.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices. All in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sounds really good.
It's a bit more like that.
Yeah, it's like it's a bit rounded and lovely. That sounds great. That sounds really, really lovely. Yeah. 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 So many different colours to choose from, you know.
Yeah.
But I always think it's interesting to approach an instrument that is new to me, like this one, but with with knowledge of language that goes from different instruments.
Yeah.
You know, so like thinking like a piano player and wanting to play like, you know, like things I can play on piano, then I think my instinct is often to play with my left hand. But that means that now when I'm getting to picking, my ears like lead me into different directions. So I think it's always, for anyone who's ever starting an instrument, me included, I always think it's cool to lean into the parts of the way you think about things that sets you apart.
You hear something and you want to play it on the guitar. But sometimes guitarists tend to go to the things that the guitar gives them.
Yes, exactly.
Like the traditional shapes. I mean, why is all of pop music or like rock music is C, G, D, and A? Like,
Yeah.
Because the chords are easy.
Yeah.
It's not because they are the best chords, but it's just we are leaning into those chords.
Exactly. I think that makes sense to people want to recreate the things that they love. You know, that's like it's a natural part of learning. But I normally get more interesting results if I'm not trying to control things too much. So even when I pick up the guitar and I go for a line, if something comes out weird, you know, sometimes it's more interesting than if it comes out not weird. You know, and I also think it's healthy when you're, you know, young and you're starting out to go for things that you can't quite do. You know, so I might say, oh, I'm going to play this this impossible line. It kind of goes, you know, and I can't play it, but, you know, and in stumbling around on it, you know, you find just interesting stuff, and then that stuff becomes your a bit more of your identity as well as the thing you were going for. And so it's cool to sort of shoot for the moon when when you're young.
I think it's true for learning in any field. I think the most progress is to be made at the edges of your capability, right? And if you stress, you push the edge.
I would say so. In some ways, the more certain I become of things, the less confident I am in myself. Because being certain is way less interesting than being uncertain. You know, that being open or curious how did you do that? That's a good state to be in. And the moment it's like, this is the one way I do it. I know from my own experience that I always get slightly uncomfortable. It's just like, what I do, because I don't want to stop learning. You know, there's always a new way of doing everything. Even though, you know, you amass a technique over time of things that work for you. I think it's always good to look at the world in that way. Honestly, this album has the most guitar out of any album I've ever made. So it's a great time to like have this conversation.
Yeah,
it's, right when I'm getting into the language.
I love it that you are exploring, because it warms my heart that you said like, oh, it's a difficult instrument to learn. And I know a lot of guitar players probably watching right now are like, oh, the neck, I never really fully understood it, and I'm still learning. And the same goes for me. I'm still learning, still finding new routes in this maze.
Yeah.
So it sort of warms my heart that even a person like you can say something like, oh man, it's pretty difficult sometimes.
Oh yeah, oh, for sure. I mean, I think every instrument has its twiddles, you know, but it's so satisfying to get inside them. And again, I think it comes down to what your priorities are. You know, if you want to learn to shred like Stevie Ray Vaughan, like you can do it. Awesome. That's amazing. But I think for me, I was always interested, like, how do I get into the thing that feels new? You know, how do I extend my voice? That's another thing I'll say is I feel like every instrument I play, whether it's a piano or guitar or drums or bass or whatever, I feel like I'm kind of trying to sing through it. You know, it feels like an extension of my voice, because the voice is the first thing I ever really did that I really identified with. So, and I love the guitar because it does feel like a voice.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you miss that connection sometimes on the piano? That direct finger-to-note contact?
Oh, the vibrato, you can't get this on a piano.
And all the quirkies? Like the flops and
the flops and the squiggles. Yeah.
Yeah.
When I play piano, I like to get inside the strings inside because then you get all the you can find squiggles of your own.
Yeah, we don't need it. We just play.
For sure.
It's a very direct instrument. That's also why in the beginning it's very challenging, because as you said, like the C chord, even just the basic C chord. I mean, plus everyone played it 100 million times, so it's nothing new. And then still struggling with it. I mean, that's such a bummer for a new guitarist.
It is, So I would suggest find a way to play C major that you've never heard on the guitar, but you hear it in your head.
So I was wondering, if you play guitar, do you always know where you are in terms of chord degrees, in terms of chordal structures, or are you also just letting your ear go and just don't think about anything?
I think it's a mixture of both on any instrument. I definitely have an understanding of of what the chords are and where the notes are. And I feel like what I've built over the years is a sort of emotional connection between like what extensions can do to a chord. So if I'm playing this G major chord and I go, I can follow those lines through, and I know the emotional properties that they hold. So, yeah, again, I would say, like, I know what the notes are because I can hear them, but I think the more important relationship that I built is not, oh, that's a G or that's a 13, but it's like, that's the note that pulls you, pushes you. That's the note that brightens or darkens or twists and turns, you know. Oh, wow. And there's something about, you know, playing this on the piano that's very familiar to me because it's like, oh, I can find that, I can see it, but when you find a good one on the guitar, it's like, oh, I really found a juicy one, you know. And that,
so that's what, is it like a GG with a flat 13 or something? What did you play?
Yeah, I would say this is with a sharp 5.
Sharp 5, yeah.
Yeah, because there's a... Oh, I guess there's the fifth on the top as well. Yeah, you could call it a flat 13. Yeah. I love the way that the flat 13 or the sharp 5 sort of rubs against this as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And another thing with this tune, which I love so much, is just the process of contextualizing these two strings. You know, I wouldn't necessarily play that chord on the piano, but resolving that is beautiful.
Yeah, the guitar lends itself. I always call them like the fix you progression.
Sure.
Like that.
Yeah.
With these high B and E's.
Yeah, you could. On this tuning, even easier. You know. But I love it. I love it when you have common tones. You know, pivot notes to go all the way over, and then. All the different ways you can make those make sense. It's gorgeous, yeah, amazing. I don't know why no one has done 5 so much.
There's 5 string basses.
There are 5 string basses, it's true.
But yeah, that's...
But to me, this is where it's at. I'm telling you, 5 fingers.
It makes a lot of sense.
Makes a lot of sense. Do you want to have a one quick go on it, one now it's plugged in?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to play this track?
Yeah. Oh yeah, go on then, yeah, I'll play this track. Yeah.
This is really out of my... It's so light. Oh man.
Yeah. Sliding. Stuff is so much fun, right?
And
yeah. I always think of that as the Perth riff.
Yeah.
It's the, you know,
Perth.
Body there. Yeah.
That's a weird tune as well. He uses
I'm sure it is. Yeah.
And the neck, the V shape.
We could hang all day. I'm sure.
We could hang all day, and then at the end we have a song.
Yeah, that would be fun. That would be great.
I feel awkward with this.
Good. So, yeah, I feel awkward with this as well.
Do you ever practice?
Sometimes I think I practice something if I want to get a particular thing down.
Yeah.
Then yeah, but I don't really sit down and say right now I'm going to practice so much.
Pentatonic.
I normally have that's nice and smooth. I think I'm very led by my curiosity, in a sense.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this is interesting. So I think sometimes I do practice, but I just don't think of it as practicing. I think of it as deep experimentation.
Yeah.
You know, like I remember when I...
It sounds more fun as well.
Yeah, totally. I remember when I was learning piano and I would sit down and do like 10 hours at the piano and just be like, I'm going to find every single chord with this triad in it on the whole instrument and play around, and which is practice, really. But it was more just me going into my zone. And I've never been particularly good with like a disciplined regime of practice, and you must do this and that and the other. It just doesn't really work for my brain. But I think that I think I have done a lot of work over the years in getting certain bits of technique down. But it's funny. I mean, it depends on the gig you're playing. But I think audiences are really moved by watching somebody fumble. It's one of the best gifts you can give to an audience is saying, I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm going to find it, though. Mm. And it's like it's what you were saying earlier on about the edge. You know, you find your best work and you do your best work on the edge. So if you're playing something on stage that you pretty much have got, but you're just going an extra mile, the audience will feel that and they'll go there with you, you know. And there's something beautiful about that process for me. Music's not that serious, you know. I know it feels serious sometimes, but the most important thing is just to be comfortable on stage. Whether you're playing a million notes or one note, it's just about being like, I'm me on the stage right now, and I'm in this note that I'm playing, you know?
Owning it.
And, you know, not taking yourself too seriously either.
Yeah.
Thinking, oh, I'm just a person, you know, what do I know about music?
Well, a lot.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think sometimes I think I know a lot, but I think when I'm at my wisest, I think I feel like I know my know the least, if that makes any sense.
Yes. Well, the further you delve into music, the more you realize there's so much to learn, as you said before.
Yeah.
And then even if you look across genres and across instruments and across, like, I just made a video about the oud. Like,
yeah, the oud, a beautiful
instrument. Yeah. And I was just blown away by the makams and how they play by moods and not just by scales. It's just, it opened up a whole new world I never even set foot in. So it's
so special.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's endless things to discover.
Yeah.
I love it. I love music. It's great. what a great thing to hang out in.
Yeah. It's the gift of the world. And we are very happy that you shared some of that with us today.
Oh, well, you're so welcome. Thanks for swinging
thanks. By. I would really recommend everyone watching checking out Jesse Volume 4. Beautiful guitar work, but also composition work, producing work. It's exquisite. There's John Mayer.
Yes, John's on the album.
Steve Vai.
Steve's on the album. I'll check out we're on the album as well.
They're
playing some of the songs. Oh, who else is on the album who plays guitar?
Madison Cunningham did you play?
Chris Thiele, though he's not quite a guitarist, he's a mandolin player.
Okay.
Best in the world.
Chris Martin, is he playing guitar or is he?
He's singing? Just singing. Okay. Chris Martin's just singing. I'm playing guitar on that song.
What a sentence. He's just singing.
Yeah, he's just singing. Oh, that's all he's doing on that one.
Well, that sets it for today. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
It was my pleasure.
Thank you, my friend.
I hope to see you around.
It's beautiful. I'll see you soon. Cheers, you guys.
Bye.
Boom.
Yeah.
The best guitar players can just do this and you feel amazing.
Now Rodgers would be
I think he's probably the greatest of all time. Or Prince.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.